Freunde, bevor wir jetzt hier anfangen, noch mal ganz kurz ein Hinweis in eigener Sache. Wenn ihr in Zukunft plant, euch Tattoo-Equipment zuzulegen, kann ich euch wirklich nur ans Herz legen, guckt euch vorher einmal eben kurz unsere Webseite an, www.tftn-podcast.com. Da findet ihr unter dem Reiter Deals nämlich richtig viele geile Deals. In den meisten Fällen bekommt ihr 10%, zum Beispiel bei Coal Black Tattoo Supply, bei Cheyenne Professional Tattoo Equipment, bei Killer Ink Supply, bei Chaos Nero und bei Muro Star, just to name a few. Die Liste wird ständig erweitert, deswegen guckt vorher vorbei, www.tftn-podcast.com oder über die Shownotes. Und jetzt wünsche ich euch viel Spaß mit dem Podcast. Bis später. This episode of the podcast is brought to you by our friends from Cheyenne Professional Tattoo Equipment. Made with love, made for artists, made in Germany. Welcome to another episode of the podcast. You're probably wondering, why is this dude talking in English? He's formally talking German the whole time, but we have an English-speaking guest today. Let me first introduce myself. My name is Zeb Fury One, sitting here with homeboy OG Louis Lacorte. Hey man, what's up?
What's up? How are you?
I'm fine. How are you?
I'm great, man. Having a good time.
Really?
Oh yes, absolutely.
Ah, cool.
It's just a bit sad because today is the last day.
Yeah.
But it's been amazing.
Thanks, man. It's like a really cool experience to have like 4 days, because usually most of the time you need like 3, and after 3 you're done.
Exactly.
So this is quite an experiment, how crazy it will be.
I think so far so good. People are still excited.
Yeah, I think so too. But I haven't seen most of the stuff actually. So probably we're finding something else when we go upstairs.
Probably.
Let's find out. So for the people that don't know you, please, may you please introduce yourself, or how long you've been a tattoo artist.
Oh my God, it's been a long time.
Yeah.
So my name is Luis. I'm from Brazil. And I have been tattooing for 13 years. And I started when I was 17. I did my first tattoo. And then, you know, I was just tattooing friends at that time, once a month. And I started a full-time job in 2009.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
Nice. So it's pretty much common, right, in Brazil to start that young?
Oh, yes. Yeah, that's funny. Yeah. We start working, I would say, like, very early there.
Mm.
So my first job was when I was 13.
Really?
Yeah. I was working in a restaurant.
As a waiter?
Yeah.
Cool. Which kind of restaurant?
It was an Italian restaurant.
Ah, okay.
Yeah, good food.
Do you speak Italian?
No. But I can understand a few words.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Does Portuguese differ very much from Italian?
Like, yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah, we have the same energy. but we're completely different, yeah.
Okay, cool. What is such a handsome fella doing in Germany?
Oh my God, thank you. You know, I'm here working hard and try to improve and, of course, having fun.
Mm-hmm.
And Germany is a nice country. Yeah. I like this kind of lifestyle, you know. People are here more in contact with nature, and they are chill, especially in Cologne.
Really?
Let's put like this.
Have you traveled other places in Germany before?
Not many, like Berlin, Frankfurt, here now. Yeah, I think that's it.
But I mean, it's at least something. How long have you been here?
It's been a year now. Yeah.
Nothing too crazy long, right?
No.
Which part of Cologne do you live?
In the city center.
Ah, okay, cool. Yeah. In the center. Yeah, it's quite packed with people, right?
Yeah, that's crazy because around my block, there are at least 5 nightclubs.
Oh,
shit. But it's okay.
Yeah?
Honestly, yeah. It's not so bad.
So because you don't hear them or?
No, you can't.
Okay.
Yeah, because the club is in the main street.
Mm-hmm.
And then my apartment is like at the back of the block.
Okay. So, was it hard to get a flat in Cologne?
I think it's quite hard.
Mm.
But for me, was okay. It didn't take too long, actually.
Okay. Yeah, because usually like cities like Cologne and whatever, they're crazy expensive and you have to do like visitations. I don't know.
Viewing.
Viewings like with hundreds of people. And then somebody writes down a number on a piece of paper, hands it out to the one who sells or gives it to you. And if he likes the number, you probably get it. This is what
it works like that. Yeah.
Is it the same in Brazil? Is it hard to get a flat there?
No, it's completely different actually, because there, if you like a place and you have the money, you know, have deposit and then have papers, they ask loads of papers.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it's just too much. And I think they just want to make sure you're going to pay for
it. Yeah,
for
the apartment.
But it's not that difficult.
Okay.
And I was there, of course, it was pretty much my whole life. And I moved at least 15 times.
15 times?
Yeah.
That's a number.
From city to city, back to hometown, you know, changing apartments. And it's crazy.
Where are you from in Brazil?
I'm from the very south part.
Okay.
Yeah.
Like a big city or a small city?
No, it was like countryside.
Okay.
And when I was 10 and I moved to a bigger city.
Uh-huh.
And then back to my hometown when I was 15. And then I moved to like a different state in Brazil when I was 18.
Okay.
So, yeah, then I started uni.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, it was a good time. Then I spent 12 years in this city.
Oh, yeah. 12 years is also quite long, right? Yeah. Do you miss Brazil?
Sometimes.
Yeah, especially in winter in Germany, right?
Absolutely.
You like more the cold weather or the hot weather?
I think now the cold.
Really?
Yeah. It's not...
Dude, you're
mind.
Getting blonde while saying this, you know?
I don't mind. Because, no, man, in Brazil, I was there in January this year, and my hometown was 49 degrees.
Celsius.
Shit.
Yeah. This
it's like, I couldn't leave the house much.
Is it like the, how's it called, humidity? Is it also quite high?
It's different.
Oh, yeah. Fuck. Yeah. So rainforest style.
It is. Huh?
Cool. Ah, I've never been to Brazil, actually. Like, I have friends in Sao Paulo, some of them, and they always invited me. But I was like, dude, like, you guys barely speak English and I don't speak Portuguese. So it's probably a problem.
No, it's not a problem, man. They're going to figure this out.
Yeah?
Yes, of course. We don't need words.
Okay. Just hands.
Just hands, you know, and feet. Beer and fun.
In Germany, it's like this. If we stumble into a foreigner and he doesn't speak the language like German, you know, we think they will understand if we talk very loud and very slow.
Yeah.
So we think this breaks the barrier. Actually, it doesn't.
In Brazil, it's the same.
Yeah.
Shouting
at you in Brazil.
The fun.
Yeah. I was just, my friend Eduardo from Sao Paulo, he just sends me some Brazilian memes, you know, where people get robbed or whatever.
Yeah.
Is it like
country.
That? Yeah?
Yeah, man. I was there in January. I was scared.
Really?
Yeah. No, it's a different lifestyle, man. It's a different lifestyle. You have to watch your back all the time.
And was it hard for you to leave Brazil to go to Europe? I think, like, we talked about it, and if I remember correctly, Germany wasn't your first location where you worked, right?
I moved to Berlin first.
Ah, okay.
Yeah, I tried there 2 months. Mm-hmm. It was February, so winter time. And it was my first experience living abroad. And I was like, okay, it's kind of complicated.
Yeah.
And the language is a problem.
Definitely.
You know? Then after 2 months, I was running out of money and then I went to Dublin, Ireland, because I know people there, so I could work and make some money. But in the second day I was there, the owner of the shop invited me to stay as a resident artist.
Oh, cool.
And I was like, okay, so let's try this out.
Here we go.
Then people also told me that it was hard to find an apartment in there. I could find an apartment in 2 weeks.
Really?
Yeah.
If tattooing is not working anymore for you, you can just search for flats for people, you know, because you're the lucky guy who always gets it.
I could do that.
Lewis Express Housing, like, something like this.
Fun. Manifesting, yeah. You know?
So I always tell the people, like my friends from abroad, when they come over, like in Germany, there's two types of people. There's the Berlin kind of people, right, who like Berlin, and the ones who like Hamburg. So I'm more, honestly, I'm more the Hamburg guy. I know we got a Berlin guy here, but no, it's a very, yeah, because it has the sea next to it, and Berlin for me is way too wild.
Okay.
I'm also from the countryside, and this year, like Jena, uh-huh, is the maximum of city for living that I can handle.
Really?
Yeah, definitely.
Come on.
I tried it, man. I lived in Dortmund, which is like a very large city. I think it has the most city parts in whole Germany, like 60.
All right.
Yeah, like areas. It's crazy. Crazy big city. Not the biggest, actually, but they have like, it's, yeah, the Ruhrpott, how's it called, like it is called in Germany, because there's so much big cities right next to it, you know, so you can go through four or five big cities in 1 hour.
Oh, crazy.
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
It's fun. I mean, it's German culture, but yeah, actually. What's your favorite restaurant so far in Cologne?
Oh man, there's a sushi place around the corner, so I go there like 4 times a week at least. Yeah.
Actually, in Cologne is also my favorite eating place. In Ehrenfeld, there's a place called Kebabland.
I heard about that.
Yeah? Dude,
this place is the most famous.
Yeah, it's the most famous, and it's just like it's a shitty little, like, let's call it container.
Yeah, it's like the yellow one, isn't it? Or red?
No, yeah, I think it's red. It looks a bit reddish, whatever. So it's nothing very impressive. So you wouldn't expect this gourmet shit to happen there, you know?
Yeah, but it actually does. Yeah, my friends told me about this place.
You need to go there.
I have to check it out. Yeah.
But let me tell you this, once you go there, you get hyped. And then you are hooked, and then you don't want to leave. Whenever I travel to Cologne, we need to go to Kebabland and have something. And I also bring like 3 to 4 plates to Jena to freeze them, to have them somewhere else.
Okay, yeah. I have to try this out.
I'm really hyped, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, sushi place. What's what kind of sushi do you like?
Smoked salmon,
yeah,
you know, and sashimi are the classic ones.
Yeah.
But I like the fried ones.
Oh, fried is so good, man.
Yeah. But you know, the funniest thing about food is like, whatever you guys make around the world, if it ends up in Brazil, we're gonna fuck this up.
Really?
Yes. Yeah, we have like sweet sushi, we have sweet pizza, we have ice cream pizza.
You told me about this story.
Tell
us the story about the ice cream pizza.
Oh my God, man. I was in Italy, Naples, and it's well known for a Napolitana pizza. And then we went to this oldest pizzeria.
Mm-hmm.
And so the guys ordered pizza and, you know, like traditional Italian pizza. And they are like having fun, like, oh, it's so good, you know, shaking hands and like,
yeah. So good.
So good. And then I was like, oh, no, it's okay. And everybody's looking at me like, yeah, because in Brazil we have like ice cream pizza, Nutella pizza.
Aww.
And they go like, what? I was like, yeah, Nutella pizza. No, it's not pizza. It's like torta. It's like a pie. It's like, no, it's pizza called pizzeria. Man. They got mad at me.
It would be funny when you switch the tomato sauce to Nutella, but like top it with cheese, you know, with melted cheese.
But no, they put like, actually the base is cheese,
mm-hmm,
and then Nutella.
Really?
And then, yeah.
That's so fucking disgusting.
And then you can have banana or strawberries.
Brazil is a fucking wild place, man.
It is.
I once worked in London, in East London, at a shop, and this fella he was also Italian, but he was from Rome, and there were just Brazilian people working there. Like, I was the only one, like, there were 10 people, uh-huh, he was the only Italian dude, and I was the only German dude. He just pat my shoulders and be like, white boy, you're not ready for this.
No. It's a different experience.
Yeah, but I like the people there. They are really, really cool. I just stumbled across some of them in the conventions and stuff. And they work pretty hard, man.
Yeah. We usually do that, you know. People sometimes, they don't understand why we work so hard. But the lifestyle is different, you know. It's more like American mentality.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you have to work, you have to make money, mm-hmm. you have to get yourself a house and, you know, buy a car. It's shit. It's not nice.
Okay, so like this from dishwasher to billionaire mentality.
Yeah, man. It's, you know, it's never like as much as you work is not enough.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the problem. You know, like here, if you think about if you want to get an iPhone, how much it costs? Like 1,000 euro.
Yeah.
So over there it's like 10,000 reais. If you think about currency and exchange, so I would say it's pretty much double the price.
Okay, really?
Yeah. So you wouldn't pay like 2,000 for an
definitely iPhone. Definitely not.
Yeah. So, but people there, they do because, you know, it's like status.
Okay.
And then that's the bad mentality.
Ah, okay. So yeah. what's not expensive, it's not worth anything.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
But like I can say that from like the 4 days that we know each other, you uh-huh. know, because you're such a humble person.
Oh, thank you.
Because like I was when you applied for this thing here, it was like is this okay because you have so many followers, you know, and like you are such a great artist and we didn't had any touch points before, so it was like very, to me it was really humbling, to be honest.
Oh man, this is a pleasure for me, you know, like
my
I'm
pleasure.
Here and I was like just having fun, and that's the thing about social media, you know, you can have loads of followers but doesn't mean anything,
yeah,
you know. Like most of my followers, they are from America or Mexico.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't have many followers in here in Germany.
Okay.
You know what I mean? So in the very end, it's just numbers.
It is. Yeah.
And I like what I do. I appreciate, you know, working hard, and you have seen me working like 6-7 hours.
Definitely, man.
And, but it, you know, it's not because I want to show off or I want to take a picture to post, and you know,
mm-hmm.
it's because my clients they are having fun. They really like the designs, and you know, we spend like 6 hours together.
Mm-hmm.
We talk a lot, and you know, it's like it's just a great time. And for me, that's the most important thing. In the very end, after 6 hours, your clients see you smiling. You know,
yeah,
it's like, oh, thank you so much. I love it. It's like, man. You know, it's the best job ever.
This week, one of your clients came back 2 times, you know?
Yeah, the first one, yeah. 2 days in a row.
Yeah, but it looked really crazy good what you did.
Thank you.
So was it like, was this Instagram stuff ever important to you? Like, did you ever not forced to be where you are now there, or did it just happen?
No, I worked hard on social media, to be honest. Because, you know, when I started working in Dublin at Legendary Tattoo with mm-hmm. Isner Barbosa, I didn't have any clients.
Mm-hmm.
And he goes like, man, you know, Instagram is the key now. So just post every single day. So we had actually a schedule
mm-hmm.
for posts. And then I was like, okay, let's do it, mm-hmm. you know, and what was great. So I had like clients from America. They just book a flight to Dublin for the weekend just to get the tattoo done.
Cool.
Have some Guinness and, you know, go back home. Yeah. I was like, really? You are here only for the tattoo? And he goes, yeah, pretty much. Yeah. Like, man, imagine that.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
It's very, how does it feel like when people like fly all across the world just to get a tattoo from you?
I cannot lie to you, you know, you can feel the pressure. And, but in the very end, it's just amazing, you know, mm-hmm. like I remember the first week when I started getting clients from other countries, I was going back home and I was talking to my ex-wife and say like, that's so crazy, you know, like people are like traveling all this, way to Ireland just to get a tattoo. It's like, I'm not that good. And then, I don't know, it just happened, you know, but it was hard work.
Yeah. And if you say you have like a schedule, did you find out by yourself? Did you have something like a manager that took care of it? I'm just asking because I'm curious, you know, because there are so many, this is something like, there's so many tactics about it. And I always talk to people that have a lot of followers just to get an idea of what's possible, you know?
Right.
Yeah. Because to me, like I also have my community. I have like 11 grand, I think. But it's just, like you said, it's just a number.
Mm-hmm.
But it's also like sometimes I'm just curious how this stuff works out, you know, what the people did to go where they are.
Because
obviously not everybody is capable of doing it. And obviously there's no blueprint for us.
Yeah.
Like do this and you get that.
Yeah. So actually, like I do everything by myself, mm-hmm. you know, social media, whatever, like bookings. But definitely the main point was when Isnard started sharing my posts.
Okay.
So like he's just a great guy, you know, was so amazing working with him.
Mm-hmm.
And he was just like, you know, let's do it this together. And was also great because he opened up a private shop
mm-hmm.
and when he left Dublin Inc. And I started working with him from the second month.
Oh, okay.
So, you know, it was like brand new
very
shop.
Beginning.
Yeah. And he was so excited. And then he was like, okay, I'm going to post here. I'm going to share your designs and tattoos. But man, you have to work every day. If you don't have clients, you have to draw. And then you are next to this guy, you know, like you have to do something.
Mm-hmm.
And then I was like, yeah, I was working super hard and, you know, working on Instagram and social media and talking to clients. And at some point, you know, you go crazy.
Yeah.
I was, I had like 4 hours sleeping.
Crazy.
For 6 months. And I was like, you know, it was just work.
Mm.
And yeah, but I'm happy, you know. I don't suggest you doing that. Especially now, you're about to get married. Don't do it. But, you know, in the very end, everybody says like, okay, hard work pays off. It does.
I think so too.
Yeah.
Like I had to talk about this with Julian Siebert,
mm-hmm.
who's a friend of mine. And he told me, man, if you don't have anything. So because we talked about people and how they get to their where they are now, you know, just that they are just doing stuff in their style. And he told me that at his shop, if you're not able to bring your own clients for the stuff you do, you're just getting booked.
Right.
And of course, you're getting all the walk-in stuff, which mm-hmm. is like if you are an artist, not that good
mm-hmm.
selection of work to do. And he said, yeah, and then you draw and draw and draw and draw. And then you will see that it will slowly, but you will get to the point where you do.
Yeah.
Where you're just doing your own stuff.
Yeah. This guy's a machine, huh?
He worked at my shop here like when lockdown occurred
uh-huh.
and he came to the studio by 11 in the morning and he left by 1 or 2 in the night, 3 days in a row, same customer.
Man,
dude,
it's wild.
Really wild. Incredible. This is why I looked at him and I was like, dude, if I would ever work like you, it's just like burnout from the first week. I would just quit tattooing because I would hate it so much.
Yeah.
So for me, it's actually too much, but it's so inspiring to be around people like you or like him, you know, that work so hard and do such a great work that you can see what's possible if you just put it out.
Yeah, but I think there are differences also. Of course, you know, like the approach you have to handle 3 days in a row.
Yeah.
So I don't think I can because I'm not the guy that, you know, makes preparation and, you know, I have a plan for the tattoo.
No, I don't.
Like here people are asking me like, okay, so how do you mix your colors and do you have a plan? You think about this in advance. It's like, no, I just pretty much ask my client, like, what colors do you like? And then I just go for it. That's why it takes too long for me to get the piece done.
Yeah.
Because, you know, it's not like, okay, so we have at least a schedule, like, today I'm going to do this and this and that.
Mm-hmm.
So I have this color palette here.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have, like, some, you know, I would say, like, sketch, colored. And I was like, no, I don't do that. So it's just my way.
Yeah.
I know could be different.
Yeah.
But I like the way I work.
Honestly, like the outcome speaks for itself. So obviously you're doing something right.
I think so.
Is it like hard for you? Or does it take you long to draw your stuff? And do you draw it like in advance or do you draw it when the customer is there?
Usually in advance. Now I prepare a sketch the night before and I just finished in the morning.
Okay.
But sometimes, you know, you have to prepare the design and think about. But you get at some point when you trust yourself and you have like good reference.
Yeah.
And it's like, okay, that's it. So I like this kind of pressure.
Okay.
So like we are like in Brazil, we have a joke that says like, okay, I have enough time to be late.
Okay. Yeah. You know? Definitely. Yeah.
And it's always like that.
Okay.
So for today, I have a client at one and I don't have the design yet.
Okay. So, yeah. What do you do today?
It's a hernia mask.
How long do you think the preparation will take?
I think like 1 hour, 30 minutes, something like that. It depends. You know, you know, sometimes it's okay. You just sit down and you have everything done in like 30 minutes. And sometimes it takes like 4 hours.
But honestly, I think like the designs that just come to you, you know, they are better than the ones who are thought out like for 3 to 4 weeks, you know.
Yeah.
Because I remember when I just scribble and something cool comes out, it's way much more appreciated also by everybody else than something that I really put my heart in it and worked, I don't know, like 10, 20 hours for it.
Yeah, I agree. I think when you have like... The main problem is when you want to come up with a masterpiece, you know, like, oh, this is going to be amazing. And you have all this pressure in advance, you know, and it's not good.
Yeah.
Just sit down, relax and start drawing. And at some point it flows. And I think for me, it works best.
Where do you get your inspiration from? Like when you draw wannadoos and stuff, because to the people that don't know your style, you're doing like neo traditional, I'd say, right? And where do you, and you have a bunch of wannadoos, so.
Yeah, I do have, yeah.
So what's your inspiration? How do you do it?
Honestly, I like nature and I like some gore stuff. And then at some point I managed to put all together. Mm-hmm. So when people ask, okay, what about your inspiration? Or like, how can you define your style? I was like, okay, it's called new traditional, but I don't think at this point, you know, looks like new traditional. But then like my inspiration is like dreams and nightmares.
Oh, okay.
So that's why you have like, especially here, these events, people are like, okay, you're going to tattoo a cat today. Because, you know, like I have loads of cats. And then I was like, I like the way it look, this kind of cuteness, but then suddenly you can just transform it and make it creepy, but it still look good,
cute.
You know, like it's like, okay, what is this? It's like, I don't know, but looks nice.
Double the size of the fangs, for example.
Yeah,
something.
Yeah. And I learned this from Isner. He always told me like, okay, Luis, so. If you are drawing something, you have to be dramatic.
Okay.
You know? So I was like, okay, but what you mean? What do you mean about it? And then he goes like, you know, when I draw eyes, because at that time he was tattooing loads of lady faces, you know, like things like that. And if you see the eyes, they are very stretchy, you know, like kind of slim and stretched. And I was like, okay. So then he was like, you know, this is the focus. When you look at this piece, you're going to see the eyes first. And then you need expression. So it's okay if you change or like you can do whatever you want because it's art.
Mm.
But then you need to find the balance.
Yeah.
And you know, for me, it was kind of difficult to understand this because, you know, like I don't think I'm able to do that. But then as soon as you learn and you have this in mind, you can do whatever you want. I was like, okay, let's do it. So now I'm doing those creepy things like fantasy, you know, inspiration things. And then I just kind of think that I can twist reality, I can distort reality, and it's okay.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why I think it's, for me, it's like dreams and nightmares, because mm-hmm. we have both all yeah. the time, you know. But if you manage to put them together, you have a balance.
Okay.
So for me also...
Something cute, something creepy.
Yeah, and then you manage, you know. Life is pretty much like that. You have ups and downs. And it's funny, I always say like to my clients, it's all about yin yang.
Yeah.
You know? And then when I say this to them, they look at the designs like, okay, yeah, it makes sense now for me.
Definitely. Yeah. Like I was just, while you're talking, I was trying to figure out like the design I saw from you yesterday, this dragon.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like, yeah, pretty much like this. So there's something cute and there's something creepy.
Yeah.
Werbung.
Hey, my fellow tattoo artist friends. Are you tired of using equipment that just doesn't cut it? Upgrade to Cheyenne professional tattoo equipment today. It's made in Germany. It's made in Berlin. Cheyenne tattoo equipment is world renowned for its quality and precision. And with the wireless Solnova unlimited tattoo machine, you'll have the freedom to create incredible designs without any pesky cords getting in the way. And let's just skip to the best part, because kids, I have a small deal for you. Use the discount code TAILS10 to get 10% off your first purchase of CheyenneTattoo.com. That's 10% off the entire purchase. For example, if you want to buy some new machines, some new cartridges, 10% saves a lot of money. As a fellow artist, I personally recommend the Solnova Unlimited 4.0 for its versatility, but if you're into lettering like me, the 5.0 is the way to go. So don't wait, visit CheyenneTattoo.com and use the discount code TAILS10 today and upgrade your tattoo game with Cheyenne professional tattoo equipment. All information in the show notes. You'll also find the discount code in the link in our Instagram bio. TAILS10 saves 10% off your first purchase on CheyenneTattoo.com.
Werbung Ende.
And was it like when you started tattooing, neo-traditional was always like, or like this neo-traditional-ish style?
Uh-huh.
Was it always your style, or did it change during the years? I mean, like 13 years is quite long.
Yeah, no, I spent many years just tattooing everything. You know, you are a tattoo artist, like you have to make money.
Mm.
And was curious because back in Brazil, we didn't have this culture of like, oh, this guy does this.
Mm-hmm.
You know, no, he's a tattoo artist and sometimes okay. he likes to do like Japanese.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Okay.
And then at some point I was more, I would say, enjoying Japanese
mm-hmm.
Tattoos. Because of the meaning and, you know, look good.
You're familiar with the mythology?
A few ones, yeah. But, you know, like it's a vast culture. It's hard to understand. And also there are loads of rules if you follow the traditional Japanese tattoo. And I was like, you know, this is too much. Like, as a good Brazilian, I was like, you know, fuck the rules.
Fuck this, looks good.
Yeah, yeah, it looks good, it matters. And then at some point, I couldn't actually come up with nice Japanese tattoos.
Mm.
And I remember a guy, it was the very first guy, this Brazilian guy, called Mauro Nunes. And he was the first one that I remember started this new traditional in Brazil
mm-hmm.
and was super colorful. And I was like, okay, this looks good. And then was like, you know, of course, Alphonse Mucha inspiration. Yeah. I was like, Art Nouveau. Was like, man, this looks great. But I didn't have clients, you know, mm-hmm. for those kind of things. But then also I really like graffiti. And then I was like, okay, so I like the colors,
yeah,
you know, from graffiti.
Of course.
But I like this kind of
the flashy art nouveau stuff.
Yeah. And then I was like, okay, so at some point, this guy was doing that because his work was pretty much purple and yellow. I was like, it looks amazing. But then at some point in Brazil, I was tattooing only black and gray stuff.
Mm.
And I was like, okay, so I want to do more about it. And it was amazing because then I moved to Europe,
mm-hmm.
and I started working with Isnard. And he goes like, okay, you want to do colors? You have to learn about it. Mm-hmm. So, you know, go to YouTube, check that out, videos, and check it out, digital artists, and learn from them. And I was like, okay. And then I start watching those videos. I had no idea about, you know, color combinations. Like, mm-hmm. okay, let's take this color and this and put all together. In the very end, it was like, fuck, it looks really bad.
Just something meshed.
Yeah. And then, he was amazing, like, you know, giving me all this information.
Mm-hmm.
And I learned from him pretty much.
So isn't it funny that like we are tattooing like approximately the same amount of years? So I'm also like in my 13th year. And isn't it cool? Because I know when I started, there was nothing on YouTube. There was even barely something you can read on the internet about how the machine works. And especially in Germany, you have to send to the supplier if you want to buy from a professional supplier.
Yeah.
You just send your permission that you are a professional tattoo artist, like you are in Germany, it's called Gewerbeschein, you know,
right.
Which is actually not very, it's not not a KO criteria, uh-huh. because it just is 15 euros and you just okay. go here to the officials and just pay the 15 euros and then you get the permission.
I'm an artist now.
yeah. And then you are a tattoo artist, like legally. And today, like you said, and this is cool because you did it by yourself, it's like just checking out stuff, educate yourself on the stuff, because there's like all the information about everything on the internet,
mm-hmm.
and it's just like a question away.
Yeah.
You're doing a lot of research on Google, like except for search for restaurants or whatever. Like if you have an issue, like also with colors, and you think, okay, my color game in this and that direction is probably not 100%, but 95%, and I want to improve it. Do you still look it up, look things up on a regular basis?
Yeah, I really enjoy it, spending time watching videos on YouTube, you know. It, as you said, like the information is out there now.
Yeah.
And sometimes we don't realize there are people, they spend their whole life writing books and putting all the information out there.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't read it.
Yeah, it is.
You know, and then it's like, okay, I'm struggling with this and that. It's okay, good. You know, there's a book about it.
Yeah.
You know, the guy spent the whole life explaining that. And I remember, it's funny, because when I started tattooing, I had no idea about, like, how to set up a machine or whatever. And so I bought all the stuff on the internet.
Mm-hmm.
And when it arrived at my place, I was like, okay, let's do it. I was like, okay, like, we have needles, we have tubes. And we have this machine and have this cable and power supply. Okay, so let's check YouTube and make sure, like, I'm going to do this right.
Yeah.
And I remember there's one video the guy was like, very bad, you know, like, but he was explaining everything.
Yeah.
And then I was like, okay, I set up the machine. I was like, okay, good to go. It
okay, went, I'm a tattoo artist.
I'm a tattoo artist. I'm a tattoo artist. And but it was terrible. I had no idea.
Was it a coil machine?
It was a coil machine, yeah.
I ordered mine, my first machine. It's also like, it sounds so familiar to me. So I got this coil machine and I didn't even know where to attach the clip card. I looked at it and I was like, saying, and then the screw wasn't to the, I don't know how it's called in English, to the feather, you know, the spring.
Oh, the spring.
To the spring. And the screw wasn't attached to the spring, so I didn't have contact. So the machine obviously wasn't working. Yeah. So I called the support and was like, dude, your machine is broken. And then I'm so ashamed of myself.
No, but I remember I was doing the same mistakes, you know. I had no idea how to tune in a tattoo machine. I was like, okay, it's like, you know, it's working, so let's do it. Don't change anything, you know, plug and play. And was funny.
Was it hard for you to find like people that wanted to get a tattoo from you first? And did you draw before so that they at least seen some of your work? Because I think like when you are a good artist by yourself, it's pretty much easy to find somebody for a new medium.
Yeah. No, I had no idea. I had no idea. I just bought some tattoo magazines,
mm-hmm.
and I was just copying the tattoos from the magazine. You know, I had no idea. But I had friends at that time they wanted,
mm-hmm.
but I was like, you know, I don't think I can handle it.
Mm-hmm.
And they wanted like kind of realistic stuff. Oh. And I was like, no.
Bullshit.
What about a tribal?
Yeah, solid black.
Yeah, it's just black. And I remember the first guy I tattooed, he was a friend of mine, you know, and he was very excited. I was like, okay, let's do it. And then he thought I was professional
mm-hmm.
at some point, you know. I was like, no, man, this is my very first tattoo. And then he was like, okay, let's do it. And it took me like 3 hours to just finish the outlines.
Okay.
And the guy sold me like a very bad ink.
Mm-hmm.
And the tattoo was just like, you know, disappearing,
yeah.
like fading, like, holy shit. And I remember then after like 2 months, I managed to get some money and buy like, Starbright
yeah.
black ink. And then I was like, I was tattooing, I was like, okay, now I see.
Now we're talking.
Yeah. And it was funny, man. The beginning was just amazing.
Have you been connected or been very well connected to the tattoo scene before moving out of Brazil?
Yeah.
Yeah? So you did conventions a lot, you knew people?
Conventions around this state.
Yeah.
You know? And of course, the biggest conventions are in São Paulo and Rio.
Mm-hmm.
But then Brazil is so big. And, you know, if you travel, usually you have to take a bus because, like, well, now it's okay to take a flight. But back in the days, it was so expensive.
Mm.
And then, you know, you need like, from my hometown to São Paulo, I think it's, like, 22 hours or something. You know, and São Paulo is, like, in the middle.
By car, not by feet. Or by horse.
No. We have cars there.
Yeah.
And electricity.
Yeah.
It's a bad joke. Fuck. But yeah, you know, it's difficult to connect at some point. That's why internet and social media,
mm-hmm.
for me, is just an amazing tool.
Yeah.
And people are still complaining about these nowadays. Like, oh, okay, Instagram is shit and this and this and that. But it's for free. It's still for free, you know? So if you want more, you can just put some money there and that's it.
Or play by the rules and put some reels on.
Exactly. But like for me, I was in contact with, I don't know if like you remember this social media called Orkut?
Orkut, no.
Something like that. So yeah, we had this before Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
And was amazing because you could create like a community mm-hmm. and people join.
Mm-hmm.
It's like a group.
Okay.
And then I remembered a tattoo group and people were just there like talking about tattoos and you could find like a beginner and a guy with 30 years experience
mm-hmm.
all together, you know, just talking, no pressure whatsoever. And I learned a lot from those guys.
Mm-hmm.
I was, you know, just checking, reading and making questions.
Like in German, it's called Forum.
Yeah, it's pretty much the same. But you could post pictures, you know, and was just amazing. And at that point, I could connect to loads of good artists and, you know, get information. But also, you have to make questions. And here, like last night, I was talking to a girl. And she goes like, you know, I really want to talk to you and ask about your colors and how to do this. But, you know, I wasn't sure if I could make questions. I was like, well, if you don't make questions,
this
you don't learn.
This is the purpose of this event.
Yeah, yeah. So, and I was like, you know, I have no problem telling you all the information you need. If you want, just ask me something, yeah. You know, because I don't feel like in our community there is a competition, you know. No. Like, even if I tell you all the things I know, you're going to do something different.
Yeah, I wouldn't be you able know? To reproduce it. Yeah. It wasn't even the purpose for this. But is it, do you share your knowledge like with everybody, or is it just like that you need like a certain connection to the people? Like if you see, okay, that he or she's an artist who is really trying, you uh-huh. know, or it's just something like, yeah, just tell me.
But you know, if you are not interested, you don't make questions.
True.
Yeah, you know, when you make questions, it's because you want to learn.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like, okay, you don't talk about tattoos if you are not interested.
Mm-hmm.
And like giving knowledge, I think, is just amazing, because then I can also remind myself about things mm-hmm. that I was doing and was working out for me.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe now I'm not doing this anymore,
mm-hmm.
you know. So you have to check your information and make sure you are like doing the right thing all the time.
Mm-hmm.
So same as social media, you know, for me it was working out when I was posting every day and try to connect to mm-hmm. people. And at some point, you know, lockdown and pandemic, we stopped doing that.
Yeah, definitely.
And now slowly I'm back mm-hmm. to it, you know, like trying to connect to people and
mm-hmm.
Share information.
Yeah, so this is also my impression of you, like a very open-minded person, you know, very very talkative and very friendly, and like it's cool having you here, man.
No, really. Man, I appreciate that.
Thanks.
For me, it's an amazing experience, you know. I think we all learn when we are here together, you know.
Yeah, I just wanted to ask you another question. When it comes to knowledge and stuff, did you ever consider taking an apprentice?
Oh man, that's funny. I had a few ones.
Yeah?
Yeah, yeah. And but you know, is I think probably now is different because I have a different mindset and mentality. But when I learned from like old school tattoo artists, you know, like
the old fashioned way. Yeah, yeah.
So it's not like, okay, no, you're doing great. Oh, I mean, no, it's like, no, you are fucking this up. You
yeah.
know, like you better do
you're ashamed
something,
to the family.
You know? Yeah,
disgrace.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And then it was hard for me to teach somebody else in a different way.
Mm-hmm.
And I had a few apprentices, and then a few ones turned out great. And other ones, you know, we couldn't work together anymore.
Mm-hmm.
It's just because now I know it was my kind of my fault, because I, you know, sometimes you have the knowledge, but you don't know how to pass on.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have the tools.
Yeah.
You don't have the skills to
yeah.
do that. And I didn't have this.
Mm-hmm.
But now I'm trying to learn. And so then I can be able to pass on this knowledge in a good way.
Yeah, I mean, like teaching is also quite a skill,
yeah.
you know. This is, I was afraid about taking like Kilian at first, my apprentice, because I even had videos on YouTube online where I was explaining why I would never take an apprentice, you know.
Uh-huh.
Because to me, it was like I was learning by myself. I never had like an apprenticeship or whatever.
Same.
And like barely tattoo artists talked to me. Like it took me 2 years till I was able to, till they said hello to me mm-hmm. and stuff. You know, I was just a random scratcher. That wanted to, you know,
put
his foot in the scene. And so for me, I thought like I worked way too hard for this. And I had a lot of people in the shop who asked for an apprenticeship, but it was just something that I knew that they didn't do it, wanted to do it from the heart, you know, mm-hmm. because they love tattooing and love the art about it. But because it was just something that it's probably easy to do and gets yeah. a lot of money, you know.
Yeah. But also, imagine like you have somebody that gonna follows you
mm-hmm.
and you have to do something about it, you know. You need to learn how to give the information, and it's not easy because we still have to work, draw, and then private life, and then you also have like an apprentice.
Yeah.
So it's a lot of work.
Definitely.
And I'm pretty sure you want to do this in the right way.
Of course.
Like, it's not like, okay, come over here. So you have to clean the floor and clean the toilet. And
you're taking responsibility for somebody's life, because he was putting all his hope in you, or he wants to learn something from you to be a professional tattoo artist, you know, that can stand by himself, that gets everything, that knows everything about the scene, or has the possibility to learn everything about the scene. So it's a huge responsibility. And this was also why I refused at first to take an apprentice, not because of the mindset of the apprentices that, or of the people that applied for an apprenticeship so far, but also because of the way that I didn't knew if the kind of teaching skills that I have would match or were worth it, you know, that they give something for it. I didn't knew if I was able to do it.
Yeah, I totally understand. Yeah. It's hard work, man, you know. I remember when I was working in a shop. I worked almost 3 years in this shop at the desk only. And the guy knew that I was tattooing at home.
Okay.
And he was fine with that, you know. And so then at some point he goes like, okay, you want to learn, blah, 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 blah. I was like, yeah. And he goes like, okay, so let's do it. Man, I had to clean toilets 4 times a day. And I was like, okay, I finished. And he goes like, okay, go there again. I was like, why? He was like, no, just because I'm telling you that. And I was like, all right. So you have to clean again, you know? And I was like, what's the point?
Mm-hmm.
Is this kind of mentality when you don't know how to teach somebody else? You just start like acting reckless.
Yeah, wasting time.
Yeah, just wasting time, you know? But I really wanted to learn. I was like, okay, I'm going to stay here. I'm going to clean these fucking toilets 10 times a day, you know?
And if you ask me for an 11th time, I'm fucking showing up.
Yeah, man. And but it's kind of sad. I spent almost 3 years in there, and I could tattoo actually 2 clients.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. And then when I was about to leave the shop, he goes like, oh, man, I'm so sad you are leaving.
Yeah,
goes,
of course
I'm doing everything, you know. And I was like setting up the station, setting up the machines, cleaning all the tubes, you know, and make how do you call this when back in the days when you had to
solder the
meters. I was making everything.
Do you know how to do it?
Yeah, I know how to do it. It's good to know. And it you know, if you don't keep this up, you know, at some point nobody knows.
Yeah,
you know, true. How to do it, or like, okay, like, it was such like a long time ago, and we don't have to do this now.
We are dependent, kind of, right?
Yeah, of course. And I have seen this with tattoo supplies, you know, like materials, because people, they have no idea how to fix a machine.
Yeah.
If they use coil machines, they don't know how to fix
them, yeah.
Or like even like turning the machine.
Yeah.
And about pen machines,
yeah.
they don't know how it works.
Yeah,
I was like, but it's your like tool.
It's your profession.
You know, you have to be curious enough to learn about your materials.
Mm.
You know, your tools. And I think today is too easy. So it's not working. So throw away, get a new one, and that's it.
I mean, with the new, I'm working with Cheyenne, and there's barely stuff that you can do by yourself. So, like, if the machine is broken, there's not much, because it has some microprocessors in it and stuff, you know, so.
No, I get what you mean, but at least you know what is inside of the machine.
Yeah, of course, and how it's working.
How it works, yeah, and about cartridges and membranes.
Yeah.
You know, and you know when the cartridge is not good enough. And nowadays, they just, you know, get the stuff, plug and play, that's it. It's all about technique.
Yeah.
And technique, everyone can learn.
Yeah. If you're curious enough.
It's fine. It's like, okay, it's a new skill. So you can just absorb the information and that's it. But it doesn't make you like an artist.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's much deeper than that.
Mm-hmm.
And also tattooing nowadays.
Yeah.
You see like is all about kind of fashion industry, you know, looks, appearance, mm. and it's not about the client anymore.
Yeah.
So.
Or the art by itself.
Yeah, the art. Yeah, yeah. You see, like, I'm not here to judge anyone because I think everybody can do whatever they want.
Of course.
But for me, I started because I wanted to connect mm-hmm. to people. And if you think about the meaning, you know, you are sharing energy
yeah.
with your clients. And people just don't understand that.
Yeah.
Like those young tattoo artists, you know. Because it's hard for them also to get good information.
Mm.
Because all tattoo artists, they don't want to
Everybody
tell.
Everybody has their secrets.
You know? So then you have this... half part of the community judging the new artist, you
but
know?
Don't teach.
Yeah. Yeah, man. So it's pretty sad. And then the ones like you see out there, the ones that try to help, they charge money
yeah,
for that.
Of course.
You know, oh, let's make a workshop. Let's do this and this and that, you know. I understand it's a business. You know,
mm-hmm.
industry. It's fair.
There's one thing everybody has in common who's here, and this is dedication, man. So whoever I talk to, it's like the story is always different, of course, also mm-hmm. What they are interested in and stuff, but the motivation itself and the how the view and tattooing and on the art and on the beautiful stuff that we are able to do with this, always the same.
Yeah.
And this is what I like.
I have seen people working hard and they are like, you know, doing their best every day and they are so happy.
Yeah.
And it's different from other conventions or, you know, when you see artists just like head down working yeah. the whole day.
Mickey showed me like this year, I took Mickey to some conventions to Amsterdam and to, no, she wasn't in Berlin, but to Amsterdam.
Uh-huh.
And she reminded me of also how to be at the convention because most of the people there just are frowning there, just sitting there, you know, with their like this looking pretty bad and stuff. Uh-huh. Just looking at the customers like pretty grumpy, you know. And then be like, hey, nobody wants to have a tattoo from me, you know. And
why
Mickey
so?
Why so? And Mickey was like, hey, if you stare a second too long, mm-hmm. she's coming to you, giving you a sticker. Hey, do you have any questions? May I help you about something? Do you have a great day? Yeah. You're enjoying the show? This is what it's about.
Yeah, totally, you know, because... You are out there, if you don't have clients, you are doing walk-ins.
Mm.
You have to sell your product.
Even if we don't want to, everybody works in sales, man.
Yeah.
But there's also like, this is like a skill that you need to learn, I think, today.
Absolutely.
Because there's way more tattooers than it used to be.
Mm-hmm.
And it's also something that you said, if you are an established tattoo artist who has its clients, who looks down on the youth that does... find some new tactics to get customers and be like, back in the days, we didn't need to do it. Yeah, but you didn't need to do it, but we need to do it because it's like a completely different deal.
Yeah, absolutely. So, but you know, you see, like, I have seen you working on reels and try to make some funny ones, you know, but that's the... It's not in a bad way. You are just having fun. And at some point you are connecting to people and, you know.
Just trying to be authentic and doing the stuff,
man,
that I like,
you know.
So
that's it.
At some point I understood that when you step out of the line, people are going to judge you no matter what you do.
Yeah.
Even if it doesn't have anything to do with it. I had discussions with people about these videos, you know, who take it personal. They were close friends, you know.
Right.
And I was like, dude, what the fuck's your problem? Because... it has nothing to do with you.
Yeah.
It's my stuff and I'm not my Instagram videos and stuff like this. It's in the end just something that I do and that the people like. So why won't I do it, you know? And this is something that you need to get rid of, like looking left and right and hearing about what other people think or have like for ideas. Because of course they are jealous in some cases that they didn't have the idea or the opportunities or probably not the self-esteem.
The balls
to do it. Yeah. Also, I mean, it takes something, you know, to step to a huge online community and doing the clown, but not like in a ridiculous way, but like we're trying to do it like with a understatement, a certain. You know, I don't want to, tattooing is way too important for me that I don't, that I want to be ridiculous about it. And I'm also pretty serious about the craft itself, you know. Mm-hmm. I think like everybody has their own techniques about it. Okay, so the time's up.
Right.
Sadly, I could talk to you like for 4 more episodes.
Nice, man.
Would you like to get our listeners your Instagram handle or where they can find you and how to get an appointment with
you? Yeah, for sure. So you can find my Instagram, all the information you need about bookings. It's La Corte Tattooer. Just go there, check it out my work and check my website. Any questions, just send me a message.
Okay. It was fun. Thanks a lot, bro. Really appreciate it. Yeah. Thank you so much. See you soon.
See ya.
Ich hoffe, dass es euch Spaß gemacht hat. Ich hoffe, dass ihr euch gut unterhalten gefühlt habt und ein bisschen was mitnehmen konntet. Wenn ihr Rückfragen zu gewissen Themen habt, was auch immer, lasst es uns gerne wissen. Ansonsten würden wir uns sehr freuen, wenn ihr uns bei den gängigen Streaming-Portalen bewerten würdet. Erzählt auch gerne euren Freunden davon über einen Shoutout auf Instagram und anderen Social-Media-Kanälen. Freuen wir uns natürlich auch immer. Support ist kein Mord. Denkt dran. Vielen Dank fürs Zuhören. Wir hören uns nächste Woche wieder bei Tales from the Needle. Vielen Dank. Ciao.